Log Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lynn Keys, episode 146. Yes, episode 146. No, I don't have coronavirus, by the way. That's just a regular cough. I've been doing some demolition work this week on a side job, and it's like I got a lot of this stuff caught in my chest. Really congested with a lot of dust and everything. So, it's a dust sandwich. But, anyways, so I got my man Lee here. We're about to rock out. I definitely want to tell y'all about the march that I went to last week. I'm not sure if I mentioned it. I think I did, not the last show, because I actually wasn't here for the last show. I couldn't make it, but we had a guest host. Speaking of which, shout out to Evan. That's my boy, or our boy. That's a good friend of ours. He special guest hosted last week, and I appreciate that. So shout out to Evan. Maybe he'll call in tonight. If not, I'll talk to you soon, bro. Anyways, it was the show before that. I had mentioned that there was a march that happened in my city. I know, like I said before, I live just about like 10 minutes or so outside of Boston, and we had a march. It was last Friday. So yeah, between now and then, I haven't got to talk to y'all. But anyways, I wanted to break down that experience. Not really break it down, but kind of share my experience. And yeah, off the top, it was a march against racism in the city of Revere. Revere is where I live. Is the name of the town I live in. Is the name of the town I live in Massachusetts. It was a march against racism. So there was lot of sign holding. You know, it was a pretty good turnout. I was happy with it. It was really nice, you know, to have people from, you know, all over the community and likely from surrounding communities too come out. You know, met a lot of new people, all different walks of life coming out to support the cause. It was really dope. You know, I was holding my sign. You know, I was just trying to, spread the energy and keep the, keep the momentum. You know what I mean? And but I think, you know, the people did that themselves. I think everybody who had, everybody had high energy, at the march. Everybody was, you could tell that, they showed up motivated. And it was really nice to have that. And, if you didn't hear the last show where we were talking about a lot of the stuff that's been going on lately, and if you didn't know before, I am a white male. So, but, I did get out with my community and, try to support because, I love people and, I don't stand for racism in my community. And that's, it's definitely, it's not something I promote and that's not something that I, condone at all. That's one topic that I always defend when it comes up. Not a lot of things will really trigger me to argue. Not many things that people say. It's very few things people say that will trigger me to argue. Music is one topic I tend to argue. Racism is another topic I will argue over because I just don't tolerate that. But it was really nice to come out and support my community and meet lots of new people and just get to support my people. I know a lot of great people around here. I've met a lot of great friends, some of them more like family, and that's just what it was. It was really nice, and Lee, what do you think about that? What do you think about my little story right there? I think Lee might have got cut off. Let me try to bring him back around. Hopefully I didn't get cut off. I don't think I did. I think I'm good. Yeah, I think Lee got cut off. But anyways, he'll be back. We've seemed to have that problem in this channel, a handful of times with kind of getting dropped out of the call. He might have went under a bridge or something like that too. Might have went into a tunnel. So, anyways, we'll see him on the other side, figuratively and quite literally. And yeah, but that's what it was. It was a really good experience. I'm sure once Lee gets in here, he'll want to hear about that, a little bit more. I'm not sure how much of that he even heard. So I could definitely run that back. If anybody had called in a little bit late, I'd run it back anyways. So at work. Lee, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, that's my bad. My phone dropped. But I heard it, man, and like I said, like I was saying, is when you first said you was doing it, I was like, you know, my first thing was I told you to be safe, you know, the thoughts getting rowdy and the atmosphere changed, to go ahead and pack this stuff up and go home. And then the second thing I said was I was proud of you getting out there, you know, and voicing your opinion and peacefully protesting. Because I think in this day and age, we need the young folks to be out there voicing their opinions, and especially y'all generation, whereas y'all are more colorblind than probably past generations. So, you know, I was glad it was a good experience and that you got out there and you did your thing. That's what's up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really great experience, and I had, you know, they actually had they had another event yesterday with there was another march, and from the pictures I saw, it was a larger scale. It was definitely a bigger turnout. But what happened was point A, I wasn't really able to go to that one. I started working on a side job. I don't know if you had heard, you know, my little commentary early on, but yeah, I'm working a side job a little ways away. So by the time I get back, I was running on E yesterday, and I was like, man, like, I don't know. I wasn't up for it. They had like the march they did was probably like, you know, realistically, if you're someone who like walks in my city, I mean, and me being someone who walks in my city, and I know it was probably like a hour and a half, 2 hour march that they did, and I was just like, man, I had no gas left in the tank, so I was like, hey, I'll support it, you know, on social media, and you know, I like all the pictures, I love it, you know, I was loving to see it, that they had a large turnout, and I think the difference between that one was that my city hall actually backed it, like the city, you know, we have city councilors, and the city's mayor actually got behind the event, as where the one that I went to, they actually quote unquote canceled it at first, but then the organizers who Lee, you're probably familiar with the school Boston College. You know, a lot of people know Boston College, BC, you know, they play in the, I think they play in the Big Ten and stuff like that. But, you know, big NCAA school, there's a couple kids that, you know, that I vaguely know, you know, friend of friends from out there were the organizers of it. And they were actually at the event that was quote unquote canceled, the one that I went to, which had a decent sized turnout for being, you know, a canceled event. But I was confused about that anyways, because I didn't really know that you could cancel a protest. I didn't know that was something that gets canceled and you just say, hey, it's canceled, I'm not going to go. I didn't know that was that kind of thing. But yeah, but the second one, the city actually got behind it, and they were like, they okayed it. So I guess a lot of people felt more comfortable with going. I mean, I could assume that was what it was, but who knows? Maybe it was just a coincidence. But yeah, great experience. I loved it.
Yeah, it was like when you told me that the city was talking about council, and I was like, well, technically that goes against the Constitution because everybody has a right to assemble. So, you know, I thought that was a ploy to have people not show up. But, you know, man, it's just good that you was out there on the front line and that you got to experience something in your lifetime. Well, I ain't gonna say in your lifetime, because you're probably going to do something bigger and better than that. But, you know, you got to do something that was probably outside of the norm, and probably is going to change the world, man. And you can always tell your kids that you was a part of something that's probably going to change the world.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, I was reading a thing earlier, and it said, this quote said, you know, if you feel like you're somebody who doesn't fit in society or doesn't fit in this world, that's because you were put here to help change it.
Wow, that's powerful. And you know what's crazy? As I was talking to one of my homeboys, I think it was last week, and I was telling him, I was like, man, I just want to feel like I'm doing something, but I don't want to get money. I want to be like literally doing something to help. And I told him, and I made a promise to myself, man, 2020 is going to be the year that I become a part of the solution. And I'm going to find something behind the scenes, whether it's stuff in envelopes, I don't care what it is, but I'm going to become part of the solution, man. And that's my pledge for the rest of this year.
It feels good, man. I mean, it definitely, it's a really, you know, I would say fulfilling thing, you know, to feel like you can, you know, jump in with your community and get out there with some of the people and or whatever it is, whether it's a, you know, charity or something like that, and try to, you know, support some kind of cause or a movement. It's a good feeling. You know, that's something that, you know, that's what leaders do. That's what leaders do.
Exactly, bro. Go ahead. But you know, man, shout out to you and everybody that was out there. Hopefully everybody made it home safely to their family. No injuries, no incidents. Because the media is definitely putting the emphasis on showing the negative parts of the protests instead of the positive parts. So, you know, as long as everybody keep their eyes on the prize, everything is going to work out, man.
Yeah, and that was the interesting thing, too, because point one, I just want to say the only negative part of the protest that I went to, the protest / march, the only negative part was a little bit early on. I mean, it was nice because we had, like, you know, a lot of officers from our local police department came out. You know, they were there on the scene, like, right on the dot. I mean, we were scheduled for 3:30. The officers, you know, came out and were talking to us by, like, you know, 20 past 3. So, you know, at first when I saw, you know, the first officer pull up, I said, oh, okay, like, I don't know. Because you never know how they're going to approach it or what the agenda is going to be when they come over. But the first officer that came over, like, actually, you know, he came over and he was like, you know, I just want to let you guys know that, like, you know, I support your right to protest and all this, and, you know, and I'm on your team and this and that, and, you know, just kind of making us feel comfortable and making people feel like, okay, I'm not here to be a bad guy or anything like that. You know, I'm gonna march with you in this. And there was, you know, there was a female officer that, you know, that marched with us too. There was, I want to say, two or three officers that marched with us. And there was some that were kind of patrolling, that were kind of, you know, coming, you know, they were kind of coming in and out of the march. It was like, I think one of the captains, like, gave a really nice speech, you know, to the people. And that was really nice to see that. I actually had a sign that I drew up that said stop police brutality. And ironically enough, I think you'll laugh at this. Ironically enough, my sign which I drew up, it said stop police brutality. Actually, it was getting kind of windy because we were down the beach, and I lost it. It blew out of my hands, and it actually whacked one of the police officers, like, right in the face. And the dude saved it. Like, it whacked him off the face. Like, it flew out of my hands. It was like, boom. And, like, and he caught it, like, off his face. And then he held it out and he read it. And he was like, he looked at me and he was like, wow, stop police brutality, huh? And he laughed. But, you know, a lot of people thought that was funny. But, yeah, that was just an interesting moment, how that panned out. The only negative moment that happened. But, yeah, there was media out there. There was, you know, the police officers were out there, local. And there was the only negative moment that happened was there was some media out there that was clearly there for, in my opinion, the wrong reasons. They were there to kind of stir up the protesters, and they knew that they were on, you know, an opposite agenda. They knew they were coming there with opposing views, and they knew they were coming there with an argumentative attitude. And it showed in their behavior, you know, within, they were some kind of media, but there was another media outlet that actually walked by me. We were kind of my kind of group that I was kind of like conversing with. We knew who they were, but she passed by me and she like said under her breath, she was like, "If they ask you for an interview, don't talk to them." And I was like, "Okay." I mean, I'm you know how y'all know I'm a reporter too, so I felt kind of like there was some other reporters there that I knew, you know, from those, you know, from I knew these people from around, and so they kind of, you know, went by me and told me that, and I was like, okay, cool. I mean, and those the quote unquote media was kind of there stirring up the protesters, and clearly they you know they were there to argue and they were there to, you know, to cause, you know, a ruckus and to try to get a rise out of the protesters, and that really wasn't cool. I didn't appreciate that. But I mean, they, you know, what I was happy with was that the people, even though they did kind of get a rise out of some people, there was no violence. It was just the people were reacting, and those couple people, you know, that were there that I was actually, I'm friends with, that were, you know, saying some things back. But, you know, we kept marching, and for the most part, we just kept it moving, and we just ignored them, and they just left. So, that, you know, that I appreciated that didn't go any further than that. But yeah, that was the only negative thing that happened. And then at the end, when there was some speeches, you know, a couple of us tried to like stream it on Facebook Live. And the weird thing was that none of our phones like were letting us, like we were all getting kicked off of Facebook Live like during the speeches. And I don't really understand like what kind of coincidence that was, but it was like, it was these two other girls who were all trying to Facebook Live the speeches like within the same like 5-10 minute span, and afterwards all of us said like, wow, all of our videos, like we would start Facebook Living and then it would just kick us off after like 5-10 seconds, like almost like once the camera picked up that there was like a speech and that it was a protest and you see the signs, all of a sudden it like got kicked off. I don't know, I mean, maybe it's a coincidence. A lot of people would say it was a coincidence. I question everything in life, you know. I always say, but why? So you know, I kind of went to the side of it.
I think that was Facebook trying to stay in the middle, trying not to pick a side. So by not allowing people to, you know, shoot or promote the protest, basically they're still riding the fence. So I think that was strategic by Facebook.
Yeah, well, that's what I chalked it up to, because when I was talking to those two girls afterwards, because they were kind of walking with me, and my other friend I was with, I was like, man, like I was like I'm so mad I couldn't like get you guys like get those guys' speeches. Like you guys said some really nice things, and like one of the girls had spoke too, and like I was telling her that I was like, you know, I've been. You said some really nice words that I really wanted to get that. Like I wasn't able to, it like kicked me offline. And then the other girl said that too. And then the girl that made the speech was trying to record, you know, a couple other gentlemen had some speeches. She was trying to record there. She said hers wasn't working either on the walk back. So, you know, I chalked that up to censorship. I chalked that up to censorship. And the people that, you know, those girls were kind of like, no, I don't think like, they would do that. And I was like, I don't know. I think they would. I think they would, because it's like you said, like, I don't need to say any more than that. I really think they would. I don't think that it's enough of a, you know, somehow controversial thing to where they would censor it. They would censor videos that, you know, from the protests. And it's kind of sad because, like you said, they tend to focus on the negative, and I was just trying to get those on. Me and other people were trying to get those on so they can see the positive of it, see all the people coming together, see all the people, nobody's fighting, there's no violence. You know, there's some really nice, kind words being said, you know, from people of color. There was, you know, a couple young black gentlemen there that made some speeches. You know, there was some other, you know, another girl made a speech. You know, she was Hispanic. So like it was all sorts of different things happening, and it was really nice to see that. And it's, you know, like you said, of course, like they always want to show like the people getting into fights, the burnings building and the looting and all this, but they don't show, you know, they won't let you have videos of these, you know, nice moments that are happening at the protests. And I have TikTok, and I can see a lot of the nice moments that have been happening because the young people capture it on TikTok. So, you know, we know the truth. My generation knows the truth. So I'm happy to know that.
Yeah, man, it's just that, it's been crazy because a lot of people has been saying it, and it's actually catching on. The revolution is being televised now. So some outlets might try to censor it. Some outlets might try to put their own negative spin to it. But for the majority of the part, everything has been peaceful. So there is no basically swerving around that. I mean, the first weekend of the protest, things went kind of left. Ever since then, everything has been on the up and up. So there is no swerving the truth, man. You might not want to televise it. You might not want to report on it, but everybody is seeing it on the world stage.
Yeah, man.
They said this cause reach all 50 states and 18 countries.
And for all the naysayers that have had negative things to say about why people are protesting, look, if you actually do the research and read, you will realize that there's a whole lot of good outcomes as a result of these protests. If you actually look, it goes beyond, the officers being, the one officer, they moved it down to, from third degree to a second degree murder. The other officers, I'm not sure what the status is, but I know it's been, their situation has been escalated from where it was previous. Those are like the main points, but there's like a lot of other good things. I mean, I know they, not everyone might think it's good, but I know the city of, I think it's Minneapolis Public Schools actually cut ties with the, they ended their contracts with the Minneapolis Police Department. So that is, take it for what you will. Do your research. I don't need to, spend the whole show to tell people what the results are. You can go out there and find it. What you're looking for, you will find. So it's out there. A lot of good outcomes from these protests. That's just my whole point.
Yeah, I know Denver Public Schools, they're doing the same thing. And basically they have like a little round table with kids that went to schools that had cops in them. And the crazy part is kids are being targeted in high school because of their color in high school, bro. They're already being profiled as being troublemakers and stuff like that. I'm saying like, man, come on, man. In high school, you don't even know who you are yet. You still trying to discover yourself. High school is all about, learning who you are, building relationships, having the best 4 or 5 years of your life before you become an adult. And how is a security guard or a cop already putting undue stress on the person because of the color of their skin or their religious beliefs in high school, man? So I think schools still need some form of security just because of the times we live in, but maybe it doesn't have to be a uniformed police officer, Maybe it could be an undercover, security guy that wears street clothes, stuff like that. But I don't think you need to have a blue suiter with a shield and a gun and a billy club walking around a high school. I just don't think you need that.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, I feel like this has been going on for, a number of years to where it's not just a time as in recently, but it's like the past, 20 years or so, at least. And, you know, the school shootings, where you have so many school shootings, it's if they want to, you know, if people want to change the format of how if people want to change the format of policing, or they want to, you know, shift things around per se, you know, I just want it to be done in a safe way. You know, just do things in consideration to the fact that in our schools across the country, there's a school shooting. When school is in session, there's a school shooting every month guaranteed. It's almost like every couple of weeks there's a school shooting. I feel like there's at least, if you look it up, I'm pretty sure it's at least one school shooting per month in North America per year. It's at least one school shooting per month when school is in session. And so that if things were to be reformatted, I just want, and I would just hope they would be in consideration of being able to still combat those situations, you know, as they arise, because, you know, there's a lot of tragedy there. So,
yeah, I know you said you want the change to come in a safe way, and I'm going to add one more word to that. I want it to be safe and fair, because sometimes just because it's safe don't mean it's fair for everybody. So I think safe and fair would be how I would state it. But, man, you know, man, it's just a powerful time in the world right now, man, and I'm just glad I'm alive to witness it, bro.
Yeah, this is an amazing time. You know, I was talking to my brother the other day, and, you know, I was just telling him how good it felt to go to the march. And I get kind of emotional just even talking about it, because it was touching. You know, that word, I think, is most fitting to describe the experience there with, you know, getting out with the community. It was touching, you know, for me. And to support, you know, my brothers and sisters who are, you know, affected by these things. And he was saying to me, you know, I was talking to my brother, and he was saying to me, he was like, we're in the revolution right now. This is the revolution.
That's a true statement, and it's being televised. Ain't no more hiding in the dark. Ain't no more underhand tactics, you know, ain't no more sweeping stuff under the rug. Now everything is being televised for the public consumption. And I think with people actually seeing George Floyd die, actually when you watch the video, you actually watch him die. I think that changed a lot of people's views by literally and figuratively watching somebody gas for their life. And, you know, man, I just hope three things. I want policing to be done in the right that it's supposed to be. Police are meant to protect and serve. And police, I want to say the word should be peace officer, not police officer. I need you to be peace officers. Make sure your job is
like
to protect
that
and serve by maintaining the
like
peace.
That.
Secondly, I hope it sparked people to get out and vote, not on a national scale, but on a local scale. Everything starts in the community and builds itself up. You can't neglect the local and only focus on the federal. You got to start at the lowest levels and work your way up. And then lastly, I hope we as human beings become better people, that this makes us all better people and respect each other on a whole nother level. That's why last time when me and you was on the show, I had us introduce ourselves and such, and I went into that because I wanted people to know that me and you are and totally different age brackets, you white on black, but you my teammate, you my partner, you my colleague. And if people could do more of that like we're doing, it'll be a better place to live, man. So hopefully human relations will be better after this movement, man. So those are three things I hope change after this.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's why it's so, that's why it, you know, man, we got to get, that reminds me, we got to get our man Rodney on the show. We haven't had Rodney on the show in a minute. He needs to get on here. Maybe not tonight, maybe not next week, but soon he needs to get on here. And that just reminded me of it. And the reason it reminded me of it is because while you say that and you say we're a team, me and you have a different connection. We've known each other for, you know, a solid 3 years and been doing shows for a solid 3 years. So me and you have a stronger team connection than me and Rodney. I know him, but we don't have a show. So we're not up here, you know, chopping it up for an hour every week. But so me and you understand, you know, have gotten to understand each other a bit more. And but I appreciate I appreciate having a connection with my man Rodney too, you know. And it's and the reason too is because I get to see these perspectives. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people who look like me, they don't understand the perspectives of other people because they're not connecting with other people. Now I'm only saying that as just one example, but there's so many examples. There's so many examples. I have so many different friends, and they're not speaking with people who are outside of their culture. They're not speaking with people who don't look like them. They're not speaking with people who are, you know, maybe in a different social class than them, or maybe in a different, you know, when you're in high school, they're not talking to people who are, you know, and if you're the popular kid, you're not talking to the, you know, non-popular kid, you know, you're not talking to that mid-level, or maybe they're in a different, financial status. You know, they're only talking to people who are in the same situation. So, but the thing is just to where you say you hope human relations get better. I'm agreeing in the sense that I hope that people will start to branch out and allow those relations to be created by branching out and starting to get them, push themselves outside of their comfort zone of only associating themselves with people who have similar attributes as them. And I hope they start to say, oh, maybe this person can relate to me. And if we can connect about this one little thing, maybe I need to go ahead and hear them out on XYZ. And then from that point, I'll be able to understand, you know, different issues and maybe even something like this. Maybe I'll be able to understand, you know, what we're going through now if I can hear their experiences. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of people don't understand where the people are coming from and where the community is coming from because they don't talk to people that are outside of their bracket. So they have no idea, you know, besides what the news is showing them, they have no idea, you know, and I think that is the thing that needs to happen. People need to branch out and start to make connections. But, you know, we could continue on this note or we can get into, a little bit of UFC talk. A little bit of our UFC talk before the show is out. You know, we're just about halfway through now, so it's up to you. We can keep running with this. I'm totally in. We can keep talking about it, or we can get into our UFC talk in a minute. Whatever you want to do.
I think we can roll into a little bit of UFC talk. You know, I think it's time to give the people what they want. You know, from Lee and Keys. You know, you know, we gave them a passionate show last week. You weren't on the show Friday, and Evan did a great job. And not in your place, but as a co-host, the guest co-host last week. I think me and him both sucked in our predictions last week. So, yeah, man. But, you know, since I haven't got a chance to talk to you, I definitely got to ask you about this. Your boy T-Wood, man, what's going on, bro? He definitely doesn't look like the same guy. I don't know what's going on, but he just doesn't seem to be the same guy that he was prior to winning the belt.
Yeah, so, sorry, I had to clear my throat. Okay, so my thing with that is, by the way, if y'all didn't know, my birthday is on Friday. My birthday is this Friday, you know, the big 2-4. Shout out to Kobe. Rest in peace.
Yes, sir.
Rest in paradise. Rest in paradise, actually. You know, 24, I got getting, you know, that Kobe number. Like Kanye said years ago, he said, you know, trying to get that Kobe number, one over Jordan. I bet y'all don't remember that one. But that's a classic. Trying to get that Kobe number, one over Jordan. Y'all don't even remember that line. That's a throwback. But anyways, you probably don't even remember that song either. But, yeah, so
I remember that line, though.
Yeah, it's a good line. You know, my birthday's on Friday, and it I'm trying to forget about the fact because I'm in such a good vibe going into my birthday week, and I'm really trying to – and I've been having a good week in these past couple of days. I've been working, and I've been, you know, doing, you know, some of the physical labor and, you know, with that physicalness, with that, you know, getting that exercise, and it's got, you know, the endorphins in my brain, you know, releasing, and I've been in a good vibe, you know, but last week, you know, I'm really shifting out of where I ended off with last weekend, because last weekend going into my birthday week, which has been great, you know, my boy Woodley got absolutely dominated. He got absolutely dominated by Gilbert Burns, and that's not to say that that's not a knock on Gilbert Burns, as if like, wow, how did you get dominated by Burns? He's a really good fighter. Like, he's a really good fighter. I knew he was, you know. So I was completely wrong when I made the prediction, though. That wasn't because of my doubt in Burns' ability. That was just me being a fan. But no, I was wrong. And Woodley didn't look good at all. He didn't look good at all. And it was really. I pretty much reacted to that one the same exact way that I reacted to Woodley losing when he lost to Usman. When he lost to Usman, I remember I was at Hooters, and he was getting dominated so bad at the end of the fight, and I knew he was going to lose. And I don't even think I watched, like, the decision, because I knew he lost. Like, there was no way. You know, I didn't even watch him put the belt on Usman because I was so disgusted. I just left the bar. I told my boy, I was like, "Yo, I'm done with this." Like, and I'm pretty sure I drove too, so I was like, "I'm leaving now." So I don't know what you want to do, but and the Jones fight was coming on after that, and I didn't even stay for it. I just didn't even care. Like, my interest in watching Jones's fight went to literally 0%. Like, when I saw how bad Woodley got dominated by Usman, I had no interest in watching the main event. Like, couldn't have cared any less. I was just so depressed. I walked out with my head down, and I was disgusted. And that is the same way that I walked out of my boy's house when I didn't watch them make the decision again, because I knew that he lost, obviously, because I wouldn't say he looked similar to the way he did it. It was in a fight. It was kind of the fight played out differently than that, but that's not to say he looked good. He didn't look good, and I knew he lost. And that was the same way I walked out of my boy's house with my head down, disgusted, depressed. It was horrible because I knew he got dominated, and that shit hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. I was sick, and I didn't even think I said bye. I didn't even think I said bye to my boy. I just walked out. I was just done. There was just nothing that could be said. There was no discussion. I didn't care, like, it was just over. And that was two high level disappointments, those two L's that Woodley took, and he looked really bad in both of those fights. And you know, as far as, you know, him not looking the same as before he won the belt, I agree. You know, he was a lot more, I feel like vicious is a more, or you could even say dangerous. But I mean, vicious to me, like, he was like, you know, an animal hunting for their prey, you know, before he won the belt, if you watch the game tapes. And then once he won the belt, you know, he started becoming a lot more defensive. It became a much more casual fighter. He, you know, was clearly, to me, clearly he, like, emulated a lot of what GSP started to do at a certain point when he was champion and pretty much just fighting to win, not necessarily fighting to put on, like, a stellar performance. Ever since Usman, I feel like he just got outclassed so bad by Usman. You know, I feel like it's horrible to say that, like, really hurt his pride losing to Usman and how bad that he lost him. You know, he got out-wrestled, if you want to call it, out-wrestled or out-grappled or whatever by Usman so bad it might have hurt his pride. But I think another thing, too, was in the beginning of the Burns fight, he got clipped in the first round, and he actually almost got stopped. I thought it was going to be – I thought the ref was going to stop it in the first round. The way he took a couple of shots after Burns knocked him down, I really – my heart fell into my stomach, bro. Like, I really was like, no way. Like, if Willie got TKO'd in the first round, then, oh, my God. Like, that would have been terrible, man. That would have been terrible. Like, he got dominated in decision. Like, okay. Like, it still hurts. It's still awful. Like, he still didn't look good at all. At all. But if he got TKO'd in the first round, man, oh, my goodness gracious. I don't even think we'd be talking about UFC right now. If he got TKO'd in the first round, to be honest, I don't even think I'd be living to tell the tale. You might have had to have Evan guest host again this week, because I might have been in a real dark place. But, it's all good. It's, you know, like I said, it's my birthday week. I'm chilling. I mean, Woodley looked horrible, but it is what it is. When he got hit in the first round, I feel like after that in the fight, like, I feel like in the first round, I want to say he threw his right hand at the same time Burns, and he almost got caught. And then the second time they had an exchange, he did get caught. And he almost got finished. I feel like he was so shocked, and he got shook by the fact that he almost got finished so early in the fight. I don't think he was aware of Burns' power, but also he wasn't expecting to get knocked down and almost finished like that. And I think that, if I had to make a guess, I would say that really, like, shocked him in the first round. And after that, I think he just went into, like, you know, full defense mode. And I don't know what he was trying to accomplish, because he wasn't going to win the fight. I mean, the way he was fighting, it wasn't the same kind of defense where he would land a jab, play defensive. You know what I mean? It wasn't really even that. He was just kind of hanging in there. He really wasn't even throwing much, but he was getting tagged. And, yeah, it was a really bad performance. I don't even really know what much else to say about that. I just hope he doesn't fight Covington next. I really hope he don't fight Covington next. If he fights Covington next, man, I don't even know if I'll watch it. I might not even watch it, because you cannot convince me at all that he will even be slightly competitive against Covington right now. Slightly competitive. With the way he just got dominated. And you probably thought I would never say this on our show, that Woodley will lose to Covington. Because I've said to you how many times that I thought he would destroy Covington. But I thought that before, when he was champion Woodley and he was doing his thing. But not this one. Not this one. This one will get dominated by Covington. It's real bad. Real bad. Covington might even finish him. And I don't even want to see it. It doesn't even matter how he'll lose. I don't think he has a chance against Covington. So I just hope. I saw a report saying that's the fight that's coming up, that's going to be the one. And I really hope it's a false report and it doesn't happen, because I don't want to see him lose again. Covington will absolutely destroy him, and I just don't want to have to see it.
Well, I think three things about Willie that I've been trying to tell you for the longest time. Number one, he lacks aggression. He isn't aggressive anymore. It's like he's become the counter-striker guy. I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to go. No, that doesn't work for you, bro. that has made you a lackluster fighter. When you was the one being aggressive and pressing the action, you was an exciting fighter. You was the one forcing people out of their comfort zone. You was getting finishes. Number two, watching him against Gilbert Burns, it seemed to me like he was scared to pull the trigger. It was like he was scared to let go. What are you scared? Why are you scared to let go? Your right hand is basically your moneymaker. So you got clipped in the first round. All right, you had time to recover. And then it seemed like after that, he was just scared to let punches go. He got to somehow rediscover his confidence. And this is where I'm going to disagree with you. I know he said he already signed a contract to fight Covington. And I think that'll be the fight that we get the old T. Wood back. And I think he'll make you proud again. Although I think he might lose a decision if he can't keep pace with Covington. So I would rather that fight be a 3-round fight instead of a 5-round fight. Because I think in a 5-round fight, he has a chance of not being able to stay up or keep up with Covington's pace. Whereas in a 3-round fight, I think he can do just enough to be competitive and maybe even win. And I think in that fight, you will see possibly the old T will return back to the octagon. So I think there's a chance for him, but I think he just got to rediscover his confidence, man. I think it's all about confidence with him right now. He has to rediscover it, get out of his own head, and let his hands go. And stop waiting on people to stop being a counter guy and become the guy that leads the dance. So, you know, that's what I saw. And I think I've been saying that for a while now. And I think it definitely played out in the Burns fight. But we're going to get back to the card that just happened over the weekend. What was your highlight of Saturday, bro?
To finish off on that, if Woodley were to fight someone next and I had to pick one fighter, I'd want to see him fight Dos Anjos. That's pretty much the only fight I'd want to see. Yeah, that's the only fight because I feel like that's kind of where he's at right now. He needs that kind of fight to get his confidence back. And yes, it is because I think he can beat him. That is why. A lot of times you say on this show, like when I said McGregor should fight Gaethje back in 2018, you said that's because you know that's a guy he can beat. And at that time, that wasn't necessarily true. But for this one, it is because I know Woodley will beat Dos Anjos. And that's why I want him to fight him, because I need him to get his confidence back. Or I wouldn't even mind maybe a Woodley and Neil Magny fight. That one might even be one that I might want to see. Magny's been looking good. I mean, but at the same time, if Woodley can get in his wrestling bag and just strike a little bit, I think he can be right on par with Neil Magny and probably, you know, grind out a pretty good decision on that one. Or maybe he takes the fight. I feel like a guy like Neil Magny would be kind of hesitant with a guy like Woodley, because I feel like Neil Magny is not really – he kind of gets hesitant with guys who he knows they have a lot of power. Usually you see him get a bit more hesitant. He's not really – He almost seems like he's a little bit afraid when he fights guys with big power, and he stays in there. You know, I'm not saying he's not game. He's a very game fighter, but I just feel like he's wary of guys, you know, that have a lot of power, and you know, that'd be a fight I want to see too. But what you were saying about Nunes this weekend, or what I was thinking about Nunes this weekend, and I wanted to ask you this. Now, as far as the event, UFC 250, right?
Yeah.
So we saw a title fight in the main event. And I was thinking about this at work today. And I was ready. I was like, I'm going to ask Lee this later on. And I really am looking forward to hearing your response. Because I was having this conversation with my boy, right? I was explaining this to him leading up to the fight. I said, look, his name is Josh. I said, Josh, you need to understand something about Nunes, okay? She has beaten every champion that there has ever been in the bantamweight division. And she has beaten the only featherweight champion that there's been so far. Besides, you know, the only there's only been the division hasn't really gone far, but she has beaten.
She beat both
the only
featherweight champs.
There was two featherweight champs.
Jermaine Durandamy. Jermaine Durandamy won the first one when she brought Holly.
Yeah, man, I don't know she was even. But can you blame me though? Can you really blame me though? Like, I forgot that she was even the champion.
Yeah, because they stripped her because she didn't want to fight Cyberwood.
Yeah, but that was kind of pathetic though. So her reign as champion was so underwhelming that I actually forgot that it even happened.
Yep, I will have to agree.
And yeah, and I don't think you can really blame me on that. But yeah, so that even furthers my point. So she's beaten, you could I guess say, since there's two, she's beaten every featherweight champion so far that there's been, and she's beaten every bantamweight champion that there's been. And every one of those that she's beaten, she won by finish, by either a knockout or a submission, except for Durandamy. That was a decision. But every one, Cyborg, she had the Misha Tate, she had Ollie Holmes, she had Rousey.
Twice.
She beat all of them by finish. And she has even other title defenses, too, against, you know, non-champions. She had the Pennington fight, you know. No, she even fought Shevchenko. She even beat Shevchenko, apparently, twice. I think those were decisions, too. So I guess you can even add that to her resume. You can even say that. She even beat flyweight? She even beat the only flyweight champion that we've seen. Actually, no, we saw there was another flyweight champion, but I forget her name, too, because her reign was also underwhelming. I don't even remember her name. But she was cute, though. She was real cute. Nico Montano. She was real cute. I like her. But I just didn't really get to see her fight. So I was just sad about that. Nah, but she's adorable. Montano, man. I like her. But yeah, Nunes has beaten every champion, right? She beat Shevchenko twice. She beat every bantamweight champion there's ever been by finish. And she's beat every featherweight champion there's been so far. Now, I said to my boy, I said, can't we say now, or why can't we just say that why can't the UFC just go ahead and say Nunes is our number one pound-for-pound fighter? Male or female. I don't see how you can't at least but hold on. I don't see how you can't at least make the argument that she could be number one pound for pound. I think the only reason that it's I think the UFC they wanted to go ahead and make the female pound for pound list. And my opinion is because they wanted to I don't know why they did it, but to me, the reason that they did do it, it insinuates, okay, it insinuates that the number one pound for pound cannot be a female. That's what it insinuates to me, because I feel like it's not marketable, okay? And I could definitely believe that coming from Dana White, and I love Dana White, but I know he doesn't think that, well, I believe that he doesn't think that the female divisions are all that marketable. And he wants to have, you know, certain champions as his number one pound for pound. I just don't see why we can't at least make the argument Nunes is number one pound for pound with all the accolades she now has. She defended her belt in both weight divisions, and she finished everybody.
I think the reason why he did that is probably to try to highlight more of the female fighters. Because if you do a pound for pound ranking with men and female combined, basically it will only be two females in there. You'll probably have Shevchenko probably at number 8 or number 9, or maybe as low as number 10, and you'll probably have Nunes maybe she'll possibly be top five, but I don't think you'll put her top three, because when you look at it, if you look at just, I just, you know what, I would have Jones number one. I would most likely have Nunez number two. Probably Cejudo number three. Khabib number four. Actually, I would have Stipe number four. I'd probably have Khabib number five. Yeah, I think that'll be my top five. But I think when you do men and women combined, most fans will actually go to, well, if you was to put her in the ring with a guy, the guy totally dominate her. And I think that's where their mindset will go at. And I think that's why Dana probably did the rankings like that, whereas, you know, you separate the men and the women, basically you could shine a spotlight on some up-and-coming women and actually some of the veteran women. Because right now, Nunez is so much better than everybody at 135 and 145. And the girl that gave her the most competition is at 125. So it's like, man, I just don't see. I guess with the Irene Adalia fight, I guess they're hoping that she dominates Holly Holm, so that way they can hype her up as the next contender for Amanda Nunes. But Holly Holm has a way of fucking shit up, man. She probably go in there and beat Aldonia, and nobody wants to see Holly Holm versus Amanda Nunes. We don't want to see that. So then that'll most likely give us Megan Anderson versus Amanda Nunes, and Megan Anderson got choked out by Felicia Spencer. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if Nunes takes about maybe the rest of the year off and fights at the top of next year, and Dana tries some way of, you know, infusing some talent in the 135, 145 women's division so that she can have some competition. But yeah, man, she just miles above these women right now, man.
Okay, so I understand. Yeah, that's fair. You know, I think a lot of the females, this isn't really the topic that I wanted to get into, so I'm gonna keep it vague, but I just think a lot of the female pound for pound, a lot of the female pound for pound, yes, it's highlighting other female fighters who are at the top of their divisions or have been doing well, whatever, but like a number of them I feel like are just there for filler space. Like you really don't have that many prospects in these divisions to even make a pound for pound list. And I feel like Nunes and Shevchenko, they're so dominant that you should honor them with the men because they're that good, you know? And I feel like they almost should be separated from a female pound for pound list, because it's kind of like, it's almost like an insult to even like put them on there. Like I feel like Nunes and Shevchenko have been looking so good. By the way, I do think Shevchenko will very likely be a two-way world champion by the end of 2021. Just to throw that out there. We'll talk about that in a future show. But I think they should be honored with the men because they're just that much better than even a lot of the male champions, you know? But anyways, you know, we got to a lot of stuff, and, you know, we have a very, you know, limited – yeah, we have a very limited amount of time left, I think, like, honestly, 10 seconds or something like that. But, you know, we got to a lot of stuff. I know we got into, you know, kind of social issues, think, you know, a lot of things like that, a lot of what's going on in the country, you know, in the first half. I know I really wanted to talk about the march and the great experience that I had, and I wanted to share that with you guys and share that with Lee. So,
thank you for allowing me that time. And, you know, we got to get to our UFC talk, and I really appreciate that. I always like to chop up some UFC talk with my boy. And, yeah, it was a great show. You know, thank you all for listening. And, by the way, I'm disgusted with the UFC that they gave me this fight event is on Saturday, a day after my birthday, because I feel like that's UFC's birthday gift to me. And what the hell is that card for a birthday gift? But that's how I feel about that. Thanks, UFC. You gave me Jessica Ali versus Cynthia Calvillo in the main event on my birthday. Thank you. That's exactly what I was waiting for. That is the fight that I was waiting for. I've been anticipating it for so long. What a matchup. What a matchup. The skill level of those two. All right. We'll save it for the next time. But anyways, I'm going to enjoy my birthday weekend. I'm going to enjoy my birthday weekend. Let me rock out. And we'll see you all next time. Lee, you can close it out because you always close it out very well. So go ahead.
Yeah, man. I really don't know how they came up with Jessica I being the main event of this card after the last time we seen her fight. She was down there comatose. I don't know how they came up with putting her in the main event. Whereas to me, they should have bought one of the bantamweight fights from last week's card and made it the main event of this week's card. But that's neither here nor there. And it's just crazy.
Sterling, we got to talk about that next show. We're going to talk about that next show. We got you, Sterling. Don't worry about it. We got you.
Yeah, he dominated my boy Sanhagen, which I was definitely shocked by. But I shouldn't have been shocked by because Aljo has definitely been on a tear here lately. And basically, he took all the cards out of Dana White's hands, and he put all the cards in his hands. And he bet on himself, so there's no way his next fight shouldn't be for the belt. So he went out there and proved it. But, once again, man, probably you going out there, do your march and your protesting in light of the George Floyd murder. Tonight we talked about Key's experience. I talked about some changes that I hope happen due to this cause and this movement. We had a little bit of UFC talk tonight. But with that being said, everybody take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them. Also love yourself. And have one good laugh every day. Leah Keys, episode 146, signing off. Peace!